Bloom warding off a blow to show you how he hit the paper. There is not a sixpence of damage done. 10 shillings? Flory with a glass of water enters. Where is he? Bella, do you want me to call the police? Bloom, oh, I know. Bulldog on the premises. But he's a Trinity student. Patrons of your establishment. Gentlemen that pay the rent. He makes a Masonic sign. Know what I mean? Nephew of the Vice Chancellor. You don't want a scandal. Bella, angrily. Trinity, coming down here ragged after the boat races and paying nothing. Are you my commander here? Where is he? I'll charge him. Disgrace him, I will, she shouts. So, Bloom, urgently. And if he were your own son in Oxford? Warningly. I know. Bella, almost speechless. Who are you, incog? Zoe, in the doorway. There's a row on. Bloom, what? Where? He throws a shilling on the table and shouts, that's for the chimney. Where? I need mountain air. He runs out. So he goes out. What he finds in the street, I'm going to finish this as fast as I can, is Stephen, who's gotten into a row with the two redcoat soldiers. They've got a whore, and Steve bumped into her or something like that, and she says that he was trying to rough her up, and the soldiers get nasty. Private car to Sissy Caffrey, or we don't know who she is, but this is the name given. Was he insulting you? Stephen, addressed her in vocative feminine, probably neuter, unigenitive. Voices, no, he didn't. The girl's telling lies. He was in Mrs. Cohen's. What's up, soldiers and civilians? Sissy Caffrey, I was in company with the soldiers, and they left me to do, you know, and the young man ran up behind me. But I'm faithful to the man that's treating me, though I'm only a shilling whore. Stephen catches sight of Kitty's and Lynch's heads. Hail, Sissy Fuss, he points to himself and others. Poetic, neo-poetic point. So there's a row going on, and the soldiers won't let up. Until finally, page 582, 585, we go way on, this goes on and on. One of them, Private Carr, breaks loose from his other soldier and says, I'll insult him. And he rushes at Stephen, fists outstretched, and strikes him in the face. This they call the coward's blow. You don't even give him a real slug. Hit him like this, and knocks Stephen down. Stephen totters, collapses, falls stunned. He lies prone, his face to the sky, his hat rolling to the wall, and Bloom follows and picks him up. Now, meanwhile, Joyce has presented a black mass where the devil is the god, you might say, and everything is said backwards. It's just the page before that. It's a big, long thing. So what we're getting here is the mass, which started in the beginning with Mulligan on the parapet with the bowl of lather, and Stephen knocked down is the Christ, pierced by the lance, and crucified. So there's Stephen on the ground, the police appear, and the crowd scatters, and Bloom takes charge and talks to the cops and just tries to smooth things over. The first watch, the page 587, taking out his notebook. What's his name? Bloom, peering over the crowd. I just see a car there. If you give me a hand, the second sergeant. First watch, name and address. Corny Kelleher, who's a dignified citizen, weepers round his hat, a death wreath in his hand, appears among the bystanders. Bloom, quickly. Oh, the very man, he whispers. Simon Dedalus' son, a bit sprung. Get these policemen to move those loafers back. Second watch. Night, Mr. Keller. It's Connie Keller. To the watch, withdrawing eyes. That's all right. I know him. Won a bit on the races. Gold cup, throwaway. He laughs. 20-1. Do you follow me? The first watch turns to the crowd. Here, what are you all gaping at? Move on out of that. The crowd disperses, muttering down the lane. Corny, leave it to me, Sergeant. That'll be all right. He laughs, shaking his head. We were often as bad ourselves, eh, or worse. What, eh, what? The first watch laughs. I suppose so. Corny Keller nudges the second watch. Come, wipe your name off the slate. He lilts, wagging his head with my tooraloom, 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 tooraloom. What, eh, do you follow me? Second watch. I sure we do. Corny, so here's this Corny Keller who comes, and big man, and He has to explain to Bloom why he's down there at that time of night, but that's all right. So the whole thing has been solved, and the finale on page 593 is Bloom standing over Stephen. And he looks at Stephen, and Stephen, in his knocked-out condition, is reciting fragments of a poem by Yeats, in which fragments of which Bloom hears. Bloom communes with the night. Face reminds me of his poor mother in the shady wood from the poem, the deep white breast in the poem, Ferguson, I think I caught a girl, some girl, best thing could happen to him. He murmurs, swear I will be always hail, ever never conceal, never reveal any part or parts, art or arts. He murmurs in rough sense, he's reciting the Masonic oath. Silent, thoughtful, alert, he stands on guard, his fingers at his lips in the attitude of secret master. Against the dark wall, a figure appears slowly, a fairy boy of 11. A changeling, kidnapped, dressed in a neat suit with glass shoes and a little bronze helmet, holding a book in his hand. He reads from right to left, inaudibly, smiling, kissing the page. Bloom, wonderstruck, calls inaudibly, Rudy, as though Rudy had lived for 11 years. And then Rudy gazes unseeing into Bloom's eyes and goes on reading, kissing, smiling. He has a delicate mauve face. On his suit, he has diamond and ruby buttons. In his free left hand, he holds a slim ivory cane with a violet bow knot. A white lambkin peeps out of his waistcoat pocket. It's a really very pretty thing that Bloom sees. Now, Stephen is just twice 11 years. He's 22 here. And it's as though the little boy had come back in Stephen. So that's the main show here. It's six now. What I think would be well to relieve you is to for me to stop here and finish very briefly what's left tonight, where the two are together. It's a short matter. The text is long, but that has nothing to do with the length of the problem. Bloom freshens Stephen up, and they decide to go to a cabman shelter, a kind of little greasy spoon that's open all night for the cabbies, and have a bit. And there they find that the coffee's dreadful and everything is terrible. But while they're there, they meet all the cast-offs and the lake boys and sailors from the port and so forth. You get the sense of a port where all the ragtag and sea wreck is cast ashore. And then Bloom takes Stephen to his home, and they go down into the cellar, and in the kitchen they drink the coffee and cream, cocoa and cream that was for Molly's breakfast in the morning. And then Bloom invites Stephen to spend the night and to live with him, actually to take room with him, because Stephen knows Italian and he would help Molly with her singing, and she can help Stephen with his singing. Stephen refuses and goes off into the night. Then Bloom goes up to Molly, his wife, and gets into bed, and